"Are you sure it's Dillinger?" I asked.
"Hell no," replied Detective Lieutenant Stan Bartowski,
my friend and unofficial liaison officer with the City of Zenith Police Department.
"We got 15 eyewitnesses who swear it's him. But of course, none of them know Dillinger personally. They've seen him in the papers and on newsreels."
I was crouched down next to Stanley behind a bulky Ford police cruiser. He and a couple dozen other officers were in the middle of a tense standoff with a gang of armed robbers inside the bank. The street in front of the bank had been barricaded at both ends of the block and was littered with cop cars. Officers were hunkered down behind them, aiming their weapons at the front doors of the building. "So the identification is shaky," I said.
"It ain't even that good," Stanley replied. "It could be him, I guess. But it don't really matter. Somebody is robbing that bank, and now they've got a bunch of hostages they're threatening to kill."
"Well, that's pretty much de rigueur among armed bandits in dire straits," I observed.
"I don't know about that, but they all do it," Stanley said. "If it is Dillinger, this could be big."
"People see Dillinger everywhere these days," I said dismissively. "Either he has found a way around the laws of physics, or people are full of shit."
"Either way, it ain't important at this point," Stanley said grimly. "We have a bad hostage situation here. Whether it's Dillinger, or Adrian Continence, or Popeye the Sailor Man."
"So where does it stand as of this minute?" I asked. I had only just arrived on the scene, pinpointed Stanley, and joined him behind his Detroit steel barricade.
"Two cops, badly wounded, and an unknown number of hostages inside, who are either all still alive or not. 5 gunmen, one of whom makes people think of Dillinger. They haven't made any demands yet, just threats."
I nodded. I'd heard about the standoff on the radio a few minutes earlier. They hadn't had very many details, other than the fact that several witnesses had identified one of the culprits as John Dillinger.
"The weird thing is," Stanley said, "these mugs carried something in with them when they entered the bank. A big wooden crate, about the same size and shape as a coffin, according to the witnesses."
"Huh," I said. "That seems ominous, but I can't really say why. What significance, sinister or otherwise, could a coffin have in the middle of a bank robbery? It's hardly necessary to bring one along just in case you kill somebody."
"I didn't say it was a coffin, just that it looked like one."
He sighed and looked at his watch.
"They've been quiet for more than an hour now. We don't want to rush the place, but we're going to have to do something. It'll be dark soon."
He was right. The sun had already dipped below the city's skyline. Several members of the Zenith PD were trundling huge gas-powered spotlights toward the bank in anticipation of a long siege.
"We need to know what's going on in there," said Stanley.
"Maybe I can find out," I said jauntily.
"That's what I'm hoping."
"Hoping?" I repeated, aghast. "You should be certain, Stanley. We'll have to have a long talk about the state of your faith in me."
"Go justify it," he tossed back.
"Your wish is my command." I melted into the shadows between two buildings. It took me just a moment to find the manhole I was looking for. The city of Zenith had a rather unique layout, large portions of which I had committed to memory. My grandfather had been, among many other less savory things, a great architect and builder. He'd had a hand in designing and constructing half the buildings in the downtown area and most of the sewer system. But, as I say, Granddad was one of the most powerful and easily the most corrupt of the movers and shakers in Zenith during the Gilded Age and beyond. In those heady days, my ancestors' political machine made New York's Tammany Hall look like Hal Roach's Our Gang. The building had been erected in 1901 and was one of those to which Granddad made sure he would have covert access.